Hello, this is Pastor Pete Beck III from LifeNet in Burlington, North Carolina. Welcome to today's podcast of Keys to a Happier Life. Today's message is entitled, How Strong is Your Anchor? When we're in school, we look forward to the day when we will no longer be subject to pop quizzes, tests, and final exams. If only it were so. Life is full of challenges and tests in a variety of areas. Loyalty to friends, integrity in business, honesty in speech, purity in our hearts and thoughts, faithfulness to our promises, endurance in temptation, and commitment to our Lord Jesus. Tests and difficulties are woven into the fabric of life. If we're children of God, He uses them to reveal what is in our hearts and to help us grow in our faith and knowledge of Him. Otherwise, our lives may end up being a cautionary tale. Romans 8:28 only works for those who love God. Jesus gave us some comforting words to help us. I read from John 16:33, the English Standard Version. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. No matter what happens to us, we have a promise from Jesus that His peace will rule. Some of us have already experienced this firsthand. Others will eventually. But what about the times when what comes at us is so severe that we feel as if we are barely able to hang on to God and His promises? What can we do if we feel as if things are hopeless, confusing, and spinning out of control? When life seems like a violent storm pushing us against deadly reefs, we need an anchor to help us ride out the storm. Consider these words from the letter to the church in Jerusalem, the Hebrews, chapter 6, verses 18 through 19. So God has given both His promise and His oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to Him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our soul. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Jesus already successfully navigated the worst storm imaginable. He endured the confusion of contradiction, the abandonment and betrayal of friends, false accusations by enemies, injustice, horrible suffering, and a humiliating death. Through the outward hopelessness of it all, He did not waver in His faith in His loving Father. He made the decision to enter that vortex of suffering, knowing full well what was ahead, because He fully trusted His Abba Father to be His keeper. When Jesus rose from the dead, His victory over hopelessness was complete. It is a victory He shares with all who trust in Him. When it is our time to enter into testing and trial, it is important for us to make some conscious choices. Passively going along for the ride, so to speak, is actually collusion with the enemy of our souls. It is vital that we make a stand against the feelings of fear, doubt, and confusion in our minds. The devil, who is the father of lies, preys upon our sin-corrupted ways of thinking. If he can get us to believe his lies instead of God's truth, he gains a huge advantage over us. Satan tells us that God is not there, that he does not even care, or perhaps that he is impotent to change things. He tells us that God and his promises cannot be fully trusted. He reminds us of our faults and failings, instilling in our minds the idea that we don't even deserve God's help. Others may be blessed, but not us. Therefore, faith is useless. We must take matters into our own hands. When Satan's lies line up with our own interpretation of things and our perception of reality, it creates a powerful pull to abandon our trust in God. The Bible calls these strongholds, or logical arguments that we employ to nullify the truth and impact of God's word. These devilish speculations must be destroyed using spiritual weapons. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5. Four of the weapons God has given us are the truth of God's word, our faith in God and his promises, the power of the Holy Spirit, and lastly, praise. Unfortunately, many of us have at one time or another succumbed to this temptation and have allowed ourselves to become hopeless, afraid, and perhaps quite angry at God. Perhaps you're in that place right now. There is hope. But first, let us consider what may happen if we do not overcome by faith in God. Adam and Eve failed their big test, which brought horrendous consequences upon all of us. What will be the fallout for us and those we love if we also cast away our confidence in God and walk away from Him? We will not know unless we choose to go that route, which I hope you will not. Sin only has bad consequences, and these often get passed down to those we love. Conversely, our obedience positively impacts succeeding generations. This is part of the generational aspect of salvation. If you want to read more, you can go to my website, 3rdpeter.com. The Bible encourages us by telling us what will be the outcome for those who refuse to abandon their hope in God and His promises. I read again from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 35 and 36. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. Our ability to survive and thrive in the midst of the strains and confusion of life depends on our holding on to these three convictions. Number one, God is loving and good. Satan seeks to cut the line to this anchor of faith, and if he does, we have little upon which to stand. However, if we maintain our confidence that God is loving and good, despite our circumstances or past experiences, we will be able to overcome adversity. God is glorified when we make this choice. Number two, God is powerful. This conviction upholds that God is sovereign over all things. He's not in a struggle against evil in which the outcome is in doubt. He is not evenly matched against some evil foe. He is the supreme being. Therefore, we can fully trust Him at all times. Jesus' resurrection sealed the doom of Satan and our eternal inheritance once and for all. Number three, God is working all things for my or our good and His glory. This conviction is the logical outcome of believing the first two points, and is where the victory in our minds and hearts is won. Romans 8:28 states that everything is being worked out for our good by a loving and powerful God. He will be glorified in and through us if we keep our confidence through the test. So how does faith in these three convictions about God's love, ability, and faithfulness work out in real life? It's simple. We make the choice to praise Him for His goodness, His power, and for working all things out for His glory and our good. Passively getting kicked around by Satan and our circumstances is not the answer. We can choose to praise God despite our natural inclination to wallow in fear, doubt, and self-pity. We are able to choose to praise Him even when our emotions are flat or depressed. We can praise Him for who He is, what He has promised, and what He will do on our behalf. When we offer to God the sacrifice of praise in the midst of confusing and difficult situations, it is a God-glorifying act of faith and a powerful spiritual weapon. I read from Psalm 149, 6 through 9, "Let the praises of God be in their mouths and a sharp sword in their hands, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with shackles and their leaders with iron chains, to execute the judgment written against them. This is the glorious privilege of His faithful ones. Praise the Lord." When everything is going our way, it's easy to give praise to God. But when the opposite is the case, choosing to give praise anyway reverberates throughout creation and brings great glory to God. It is also one of the most powerful forms of spiritual warfare we have at our disposal. The devil cannot stand against it. When we praise God in the midst of adversity, the power of heaven is unleashed on our behalf to carry us to victory. Try it and see if you're not transported into a wonderful realm of victory and peace. I conclude by reading Habakkuk 3:17 through 19. "Even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there are no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, able to tread upon the heights." Through faith and praise, we can transition from hopelessness and fear to a place of peace and victorious faith. We can know what it means to be an overcomer, all because we make the choice to trust God and His promises in spite of everything opposed to us. We will have an anchor for the soul that cannot be moved.